This is a recording device that Ashley has tried to teach me how to use, and somehow I have not been able to turn the thing on. Hence, I needed Easter this year. I'm not overstating it. I really needed Easter this year. And I'm grateful to this church for making it so good, so powerful, so bright, so uplifting. I love the readings from last week where Jesus appeared to Mary. He went to the tomb and found it empty. And after the two other disciples had come and gone, stood there weeping. And Jesus came to her and said her name. And her eyes were opened and she recognized who was speaking to her. I love that image from the reading of last week. And then today's reading, which happens right after that morning. This is the evening. And the disciples are gathered in a room and the door is locked for fear of the Jews. And all of a sudden, Jesus is there. And he greets them and says, "Peace be with you." And he shows them his hands and his side. Since this past week, I've tried to imagine what it would be like to hear God speak your name and to say to you, "Peace be with you." I can think of nothing much more wonderful than that. Hearing God say your name means I see you. I know you by name. I know who you are. You are one of mine. And I am your God. And hearing him say this word peace, which in Hebrew is this rich, deep, beautiful word shalom, which means more than what we think of as peace. It means wholeness. It means well-being. It means oneness. That's what Easter meant to me this year. Sometime when you find you need it, put yourself in this story and try to imagine God saying your name. Peace be to you. Thomas was not at this gathering, though. He was not in the room. He did not hear these words of Jesus. He did not see his hands and his side. And he didn't believe what his fellow disciples told him when they said, "We have seen the Lord." He said, "I have to see for myself. I have to put my hands, my finger in the nail prints of his hands. I have to see his wounded side." This passage that includes doubting Thomas, and God bless him for being so clear, so out there, so blunt about his faith, always in the Episcopal tradition follows Easter. And I think it is by design, because this passage poses the question to each one of us, what do we believe? What do I believe? To put it bluntly, do I believe that Jesus was God incarnate, that he actually rose from the dead? Do I really believe that? You don't have to answer that question for me, or anyone else here, as far as I'm concerned. This is not an inquisition. But I think God poses this question to us. What do we believe? I think Jesus, as he asked each of his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" asks us that same question. And we should give him an honest answer. So where are you in your journey of faith? What is it you believe? What is actually this thing that we call faith? Jesus uses the word, the metaphor of a mustard seed to describe faith, a growing plant. Hebrews likens, says Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, suggesting that faith is something that is written into our lives by God, that in fact is a gift from God. And earlier in Hebrews in chapter 11, which is one of my favorite passages about faith in the Bible, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is substantial in the spiritual realm. Faith may actually be able to move mountains because in some sense, faith might be heavier than mountains in the light of eternity. Whatever faith is, where are you? How are you doing? I think it's a lifelong journey. There's no clear, simple answer. And if you'll forgive me, I would like to share with you some of what I've learned through life in my own story. This story is really not about me. I'm a piece of paper that God is writing his story on. The story is about God and how he has sort of opened up my eyes to faith. I hope you find it helpful. I grew up going to a church, an Episcopal church, St. Stephen's, in town. I remember it just was something we did. I assumed that the messages that I was hearing in church were true, that there was a God there and that Jesus was his son. We said grace at meals, and when I was put to bed when I was little, I was said the prayer, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Some of you may know it. And going off to a boarding school where chapel was required, I kept going to church all the way through high school. And then I went to college. And this was the late 60s. And there was I didn't have to go to church anymore. I didn't have to do much of anything except not flunk out, which I managed to do. No, I managed to not flunk out. I came close, but anyway, the world opened up, and there was a lot happening. I was free, and boy, I enjoyed it. I explored everything. I went for it. And if you looked at me, it looked like I was having a good time. But gradually, some question started to lurk inside. In this wide open plain that I could explore anywhere, became that freedom turned into being a feeling of being lost, of being adrift, of having no center, no homing place, nothing solid. I may have looked like I was having a good time, but on the inside, a gnawing question was growing in me, and a need for an answer was catching hold of me, and it became intense. I figured a way to go to Ireland for my junior year abroad with the express purpose of finding some answers. While there, I heard about a monastery in the west of Ireland called Glenstall Abbey that would take in guests. I went with my purple bell bottoms and my little record player and a few albums, I can tell you which they were after church if you're interested, and showed up at this monastery, and amazingly, the monks let me in. Usually, guests would stay for a couple of days. I stayed for a month. And gradually, the guest master, a wonderful monk named Dom Paul, saw the crisis that I was in, the wrestling match I was having. And he said to me, Harrison, you will find what you're looking for in Christ. And like the idiot that I was, I said, I've been there and done that. I don't think so. I don't see how this man can be the answer for the whole universe. And then he said this, then the way you will find what you're looking for is in humility and love, is in giving not in getting some sort of enlightenment. And that struck home. That really helped. I went back feeling much better, finished college, and was basically good with this one lingering question. Are we alone in this universe? Is there something bigger than I am here? I went down just before finishing school to visit a friend of mine that had graduated a year ahead of me. He was living in Alabama, and he had introduced me to a lot of sort of the freedoms that I enjoyed. And he took me to a gathering of his friends down there. It was just young people hanging out. And instead of being high on something else, these people were high on Jesus. In the words of that time, they were Jesus freaks. They sat around and talked. They asked me what I believed. I said, I don't even know what I said. When it was time to leave, they said, all right, let's pray. Stood in a circle. And they started to just talk to God as if he was there and as if they knew him. And I closed my eyes and listened. And all of a sudden, I felt like Jesus was in the room. And so I prayed. Jesus, I see that you're real. I've been looking for you for a long time. I want you to know I belong to you. We went home, I left. And I had no idea that my life would have turned the corner that it did. I wish I could say that since then I've been on a straight and narrow path of faith. I have not. There were years where I was absolutely certain about what I believed. If the Bible said it, I believed it. That settled it. And I would be more than happy to tell you. That certainty, at one point in my life, fell to the ground like a house of cards. I believed somehow that God was there, but I could not tell you anything more about him than that. I just didn't know. And I decided at that point to go back to the Episcopal Church. And I was told about one in Oregon Hill, called St. Andrew's. And I went, and I sat and heard the wonderful liturgy, the Episcopal liturgy, just wash over me, Sunday after Sunday. And I heard this man's sermons, and gradually my faith began to take shape again. It was rebuilding, but it was a softer, gentler faith. It was less firm in the specifics. It was more like a trust. Just a trust in somebody that was there that I couldn't answer all of the questions about, but I just simply trusted and that person was good. I can't tell you how, if everything in the Gospels is factual. I don't know. I believe that Jesus was the Son of God because, just very simply, God has become real to me in that man. I believe that he rose from the grave because I still feel his presence. He still seems alive to me. That's pretty much all I've got. Where are you in your faith? Along this spectrum. I would love to hear your story sometime. It's important. I believe history is shaped by faith, fundamentally. Truly shaped by faith. I'm not going to get into specifics, but it matters. Our faith matters. And in this broken world, it needs to hear God's voice saying, peace be with you. And the voices that he has to speak that to are yours and mine. And we need to figure out how to step out into the world and share our faith, because I think a lot depends on it. Jesus said to his disciples, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. Amen.